The most useful dimension of the Enneagram begins when we move beyond the typology and develop an awareness of how we interact with others and carry ourselves in the world. Aphoria wants to invite coaches, therapists, and organizational development practitioners in applying the Enneagram in areas of inclusivity, leadership, and team dynamics. Visit aphoriapartners.com for more information on deepening your knowledge and practice of the Enneagram. That's aphoriapartners.com or click the link in the show notes.
Welcome back to the International Enneagram Association Conference Podcast. The Fathoms crew is here today with Dr. Deborah Egerton, or Dr. E, and Dr. Robert Holden, or Dr. R. So we've been here this week. He's recently christened. Everyone welcome him. We've been here this week, some of us live in San Francisco for the Global Conference in the United States. If you're joining us later, welcome to the conversation. We want to introduce you to these lovely people. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us here.
And can I just say, we had Dr. E on to Fathoms to talk about her book, and I just felt, I said this to you on that call, I said, I feel your presence and your peace and your love, like, emanating through the screen, and now that I'm getting to meet you in person, like, that's real. That's very real.
Thank you so much, and because that's been, everything, that's, isn't it? That's everything. That's what connects us.
It's been so wonderful being with you in person.
And we also have Dr. E to thank for implanting the idea of us doing the podcast thing here, which I think it's just been really fun. And so thank you again for the connections and all the other things.
Well, thank you for acknowledging all those lovely things. And at the same time, we know that there's sort of a divine order, a synchronicity that is not coincidence, and that everything happens for some reason. So we had our little connection, and one thing leads to another, and here we all are. And I think that's beautiful.
So we'd love to get into the brilliance of your togetherness and let you guys kind of take the reins here and speak to the collaborative effort that you have presented together. Well, can you just name what that maybe that topic was and some of the presentation and kind of riff on that for us?
Robert, you go ahead, because actually that was your panel. I just was on it.
Yeah, that's true. but perhaps we could maybe go back a step and acknowledge our friendship.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes in life when you meet someone, you feel as if you've already known them. You've already know about them. And I guess we've all been lucky enough to have moments like that. And Deborah, when you showed up in my life a few years ago, I wondered what had taken you so long to get here.
I overslept the 2 a.m.
problem. But I was certainly really happy that we were together. I think that there's a mystery, isn't there, to how we all get together. You know, if we think about it in our lives, we've never actually planned to meet our friends. We've never woken up on a certain day and said, right, today I'm going to meet a friend for life. It's amazing how we meet each other and how we recognize each other as well. And I'm astonished by that. You know, often we talk about chemistry as well. You have a certain chemistry with somebody. But what creates the chemistry? I think it's something to do with having a shared purpose.
Yes.
I think we recognize often in each other, oh, this is why I'm here. And here's one of my friends that's going to help me out with this purpose that I have in my life. So I think that's what I recognized in Deborah. And so then we had this opportunity to start to work together through the Enneagram and then also through one or two other projects as well. And in working together, I guess we got to catch up with our friendship in a way, a friendship that was already given, but we, you know, then you get the time together to work out why you're friends and everything. And so we've worked on a number of projects over the years, haven't we, together?
We have quite a few. And all Enneagram based so far. Who knows where that will take us, but our Enneagram work together has really given people an opportunity to go deep inside and begin to understand that we do the inner work for a purpose. And Robert is masterful at helping people recognize that they have a purpose. And then I blend with Robert in sort of the, well, we create an alchemy of, all right, if you have a purpose, what are you doing with it? Where are you focusing it? And we've focused much of the work on our, I call it, as you know, idea work. So inclusion, diversity, equity, anti-racism. However, I believe I can speak for both of us when I would say it's much bigger than that. You know, it's really come to a place where the work together is centered in love, and it is in getting people to understand self-love, self-worth. If you don't understand that and you can't get there, then you can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And if you have no love for yourself, if you give no value to your own humanity, how can you give any value to anyone else's? Mm-hmm. So the bigger part of this is come to a place of understanding that love is at the center of everything that we do. It will make it work or it will make it not work. It will make it better, or with a lack of love, it will get worse. And we are looking at all the ways that we can bring people to the table to be able to have that kind of conversation. As you know, even in the keynote, that was my central theme, bringing us back to love. Once people do that, you know, the rest of it kind of comes along. You know, if you are looking at your own humanity and the humanity of the world, and you are seeing the things that are happening around you, if you've grounded yourself in that space, then automatically you're going to want to do something. So the Enneagram helps us to show people 9 different ways of doing something. But that's a central theme, I think, that has brought us together.
Yeah, for sure. I know we all recognize that the Enneagram is this amazing self-awareness tool, self-awareness model, and we're both teachers of inquiry. So we encourage ourselves, each other, and everyone else to deepen their self-awareness through inquiry. And of course, the Enneagram is brilliant at that. But I think also what the Enneagram is brilliant at is supporting each of us in holding a conversation about our inquiry. And, you know, I like to think that we evolve through conversation. We evolve, we grow through daring to have the conversations that are a bit difficult. Conversations where we'll have blind spots and biases, and so therefore with the help of the Enneagram, we can sort of hopefully, you know, broaden our sense of vision. And every time I get to work with Deborah in a conversation as well as in an inquiry, I just know it's a better offering because I'm in conversation with somebody. So I think that's part of the excitement as well. Mm-hmm. So when we have, for example, worked on Enneagram and Grace, or the Enneagram and Spiritual Growth Program, or coming up, Enneagram and Love, you know, the fact that we're going to be in a conversation about that together, and that the Enneagram supports each of us in having that conversation, that's exciting. I have to say, by the way, I do think that right now in the world, we have lots of debate, but not much conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
I think, you know, if we could just, you know, enjoy a little bit more of that conversation where we're actually feeling as if we're like learning and growing in a conversation, hopefully that, you know, I know that's challenging, but it can also be thrilling to leave a conversation going, wow, there's an idea I hadn't thought of before. Mm-hmm. Or that's deepened an idea that I've had, but it's shown me something else about it. You know, that type of thing.
Any type of inner work requires a confrontation of versions of ourselves that may be uncomfortable or scary. Sarah Jane Case invites you into a poetic exploration of who you thought you had to be through her new book, The Enneagram Letters. You can find this creative approach to your personal development anywhere you buy books online or using the link in the show notes.
your distinction between conversation and debate.
Mm-hmm.
Could you sort of unbraid a little bit for our listeners and just expanding our definition of the differences between those? What makes a conversation different than a debate?
Yeah, that's a lovely question. I don't think I've ever really been asked that question directly before. What I would say is, for me, a debate feels as if two people are in position. Mm-hmm. So they each have their position, and whatever happens next doesn't really matter because we're going to stay in our position.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like, in the media when they'll say, oh, we've got somebody here who's going to tell us why climate change is happening right now. And to be balanced, we'll now have someone who says climate change isn't happening in the world right now. And you have your little report. This happens on the BBC a lot, by the way, in London. And then after that, we'll move on to the weather or the sports. But nothing really happened. It was just my position, their position, nothing happened really.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that a conversation is where you may have a sense of a position, but you're so happy to step off it and move around a bit. And like with the Enneagram, I mean, you know, my home base is 3, so I know I'm going to start off often in a conversation coming from a what do we do with this, what are we doing here type thing. But what if I can then move around and sit on another meditation seat? What if I can hop over to 5 for a moment, or over to 8, a bit of holy truth, you know, or 9, a bit of holy love? That type of feeling that I can move off my position and enjoy a living conversation feels good. So that would be one distinction for me, just positions, knowing your position, but feeling like you can move around a little bit.
I'd add to that, as I'm listening to Robert, things are sort of rising for me. We hear a lot of talk about brave space, safe space, but in a conversation, I think you need to bring kind space.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, kind space. Once you enter with a kind heart, it opens up not only your heart but your mind, and you can hear the other person. In a conversation, you truly listen to the other person, not for whether or not they're right or wrong, but because you want to have an exchange of thoughts. And I believe that conversations inform both sides, because each person is contributing with an open mind and hopefully an open heart if they've entered into a kind space.
Mm-hmm.
What sometimes concerns me is that people will take a brave stand or a courageous stand, but it's also a mean stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a hard stand. And we know that the rational mind and the logical mind, you know, they have a little difficulty once the anger gets in there. You know, the logic, reason, that's kind of going out the door. So all you're doing then is thinking about what you want to say to the person without really listening.
Mm-hmm.
So conversations inform one another, but the way that you enter a conversation matters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Along those lines, I may not ask this question to everybody, but I really feel strongly that the two of you can hold this question and answer it with kindness and respect. And so I think it's important to ask, in this moment that we're in as an Enneagram community, do you think that we are having conversations? Do you feel that we're having conversations? Are we stuck in debate mode? What is it feeling like to you? What's the pulse that you're getting? And how might you bring a kind response to how we can improve that?
I'll speak to that because I've been in the Enneagram community for longer than I'd like to admit because I'm such a young woman.
You are. 2 a.m.
Yeah. Exactly. The conversations are beginning. For a long time, I do not believe that there were really conversations. If you go back into just sort of the history of the IEA, there was, in the earlier years, there were a lot of debates about whose ideas were right and whose are wrong, who was teaching what way, and, you know, whose way was the best. I've seen an evolution, and I can honestly say, in the past 7 years, and if you all were there for the keynote, you know, I talked about the climate of the IEA in 2016. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the significance of seven-year cycles, the law of seven. And it feels entirely different in 2023. No one was having any kind of conversation about some of the life challenges, social ills. I mean, if they were, they were happening in pockets that I was not privy to. In 2023, I now see people coming up and initiating conversation and asking the questions, how can we be a part of something bigger? How do I get in the conversation? How do I actualize my purpose? And then as soon as they say the word purpose, I push them over in Robert's direction. You know, you want to activate your purpose, go to this guy. You know, he's got a magic formula that's incredible. And I don't say that lightly. Robert is very empowering and is what, when someone works or studies under Robert, there is something that happens. There's an internal shift that helps people to lock into that space. And the bravery and the courage that is needed comes forward, but it also comes out with love and kindness, which is why I love working with a human who lives on the opposite side of the, you know, ocean, who just so happens to be a white male and who is just as invested in social justice work as I am. You know, we have kind conversations all the time. So in the Enneagram world, you know, there's the IEA, which we see opening up and beginning to embrace the reality that we've got to start having these conversations. And then we have Enneagram enthusiasts. You know, we have people who are popping up and doing different types of Enneagram work. And the conversations that, for instance, what you all are doing right now, you know, this wasn't happening like this a decade ago. So, yes, they are beginning to happen. And that just makes my heart absolutely do 9 Enneagram dances.
So what I'm hearing is just, if we can focus on having kind conversations, that doesn't mean we have to agree.
Absolutely not.
And there's a way in which to debate that is also kind, or to disagree that is also kind. And we just were interviewing Mario Socorro and Maria Jose yesterday and just talking about how never disrespect the person. Always honor the person, but you can disrespect the idea or disagree with the idea.
Disagree.
To just lay into it with all you got. Because that's how we find truth. And if we are actually truth seekers, and that's what everyone should be excited about. But we just get all wrapped up with my idea. It's my thing. It's me.
My idea is me. We get way too closely
identified with our ideas.
That's just the great point there. I mean, I'd say as well that aren't we so lucky that we've got this model that actually if we work with it, it's going to help us have better conversations.
Right.
We've actually got the model that can help us have better conversations. Mm-hmm. We work on our fixation, we work on our passion, we're going to have better conversations. But that example you gave right there, you know, I've worked with, I'm thinking in particular when I'm like coaching like CEOs, and the great majority of CEOs that I've worked with were eights. They are eights. Mm-hmm. I'm a three. I come up with this idea and they say something like, well, that's just stupid. But what I hear is, I'm stupid.
Right.
Because I'm an image type. Uh-huh. And so just having that little insight there from an Enneagram perspective, like, oh my God, you know, it's not that I'm stupid. Mm. I just came up with an idea that they think stupid. And now when I think about it, it's actually stupid. But that's just, like, it's all right.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, but yeah, so just, isn't it great that we've got the actual tool right here to have the, you know, to have better conversations?
Yes.
The challenge is using it.
Yeah.
Actually using it.
Actually,
using it and going into deep intentional work, looking at your own stuff and recognizing why you get triggered, why the conversation can't happen because you get triggered.
I'm thinking that this is a conversation that we could be having 4 hours from now, just as vigorously. And I really want to make sure that our listening audience has the information that they have to get in touch with you after this podcast or after this conference. And personally, I'd like to thank you for the invitation to enter into curiosity with conversations and debate with less certainty and less judgment. I think that's what I'm hearing from you. So how can our listeners find you?
For me, it's fairly easy. Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. The only way to spell right. Deborah, right?
That's
the
right.
only way. Egerton.com. So if you go to my website, everything is there, everything that you need to know. And then there are links to other things, talks, the music that I listen to, little, you know, morning messages, you know, all kinds of fun things. And of course, all the programs that we're offering, and especially the one coming up, Love in the Enneagram with, what's that guy's name?
Dr. R.
I'm doing that with Dr. R.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, and for me, robertholden.com. And the newsletter. I think there's a weekly newsletter. It's free. It's a nice way to sign up. The content every week is fresh. It's mine. It's real. I write the newsletter to be present in my life. That's the purpose of it. And I think if I can be present in my life and share something, then that'd be good. But that's where you'll get information about the events as well, like Love in the Enneagram.
Right. And you can sign up for my newsletter on the website. Yes. So that's a great thing.
Thank you both so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.